Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Usually it feels like the radio shows fly by. Not this one. Not this day. It's a little bit like time stopped. And certainly the sports world came to a grinding halt. I know there were still events going on. In fact, the Australian Open is taking place even now. But if you haven't been on Twitter lately, maybe check out our show Twitter. After Hours CBS producer Chris found a video of Nick Kyrgios, who is on the court right now against Rafael Nadal in Melbourne, Australia. He walked out onto the court wearing a Kobe Bryant jersey with the number 8. All of the NBA players and coaches who had to play on Sunday were really only half committed, half-hearted, as you can imagine. And many of them started with moments of silence in their arenas. And then to take that a step further, the teams got on the court and started with either a 24-second shot clock violation in honor of number 24 or an 8-second backcourt violation in honor of the number that Kobe Bryant wore when he first got into the NBA. Both those numbers hanging in the Staples Center and highlighted during the Grammy Awards that, strangely enough, were taking place there in the house that Kobe Bryant built. We have more members of the basketball community that I want you to hear from, and certainly people outside the basketball community. And if you tuned in to hear talk about the Super Bowl, that won't be tonight. I didn't watch the Pro Bowl except for the breaking news about Kobe Bryant and the helicopter crash at the time that it was happening. We were just finding out the news. And like many of you, I had the same reaction. I had my phone in my hand. I don't remember why I opened up Twitter, but I saw the initial report from TMZ. And I was hoping it was a mistake. Now, say what you will about TMZ. It's certainly a rag, but they are very rarely wrong. When it comes to this type of breaking news, this is the business that TMZ is in. And so somehow, much to the chagrin of the authorities and certainly not proper channels, somehow TMZ found out. And that started a landslide. And as I was watching the start of the Pro Bowl coverage, again, not the game. I don't watch the game anyway, but I was tuned in to ABC because I wanted to see if there would be some type of report with more details. And there was a reporter in Calabasas who did a live hit with an anchor who was sitting at the ABC desk. And what Matt Gutman said, and I went back and watched it multiple times because I was stunned to hear it. What Matt Gutman said on ABC is that Kobe's 4 daughters were also believed to have been on the helicopter. So he said that. And after watching it a few times, I thought, wait a minute, that can't be right. And I'm not joking about this. I would never joke about this. I started praying he was wrong. Just anything. I don't even care if the guy made a mistake. It's a terrible mistake, obviously, and you never want to report something like that until you know for sure. But I have never prayed so hard for anyone to be wrong in my entire life. And not long after that, there were more reports then with TMZ, as well as Adrian Wojnarowski, that it wasn't all of Kobe's daughters, but that his 13-year-old daughter, Gianna, was also with them because they were on the way to a travel basketball game. And what's being reported now, what's been confirmed by family members is that there was at least one other teammate of Gianna's on the helicopter that her parents, this is the Altobelli family, her parents were also on the chopper. And that there was a basketball coach. I don't know if she was their basketball coach, but she was a basketball coach of a local elementary school, a private school. And then what CBS LA is reporting now is that there were what appears to be another mother and daughter. The daughter looks to be about the same age as Gianna and Alyssa, the other two. Maybe she was a teammate, but I don't have that information yet. And I haven't heard any confirmation about the pilot yet, only that he was a professional pilot and that this was Kobe Bryant's helicopter. So we'll pass along any other news as we get it, but that's what we know at this point. There have been various audio recordings released from the chopper itself indicating that the pilot was having trouble with visibility and also indicating that they were climbing at a rather precipitous rate just before they crashed. The LA Police Department and the County Sheriff's Department, they actually grounded their helicopters because they didn't want them flying in the foggy conditions. And to make it even tougher, the rugged terrain where the chopper went down, it started a brush fire, which is about a quarter of an acre. And the debris field was spread out throughout that brush fire. So firefighters had to hike in with their equipment. Medical personnel were dropped from another helicopter. And so they were there looking through the wreckage, trying to find survivors if possible. And it wasn't until a few minutes later that firefighters were able to reach the area. And those are really the only details that I have that I've seen. The helicopter went down in Calabasas, California, which is about 30 miles northwest of downtown LA. Kobe Bryant not only was coaching his daughter's middle school team, but he had started a basketball academy. It was called the Mamba Sports Academy. And he had popped up all over the place the last few years, supporting youth basketball, taking photos with his daughter's team, promoting his book, doing book signings here as well as internationally. And I'm sure many of you have seen the video. I don't know the exact date. I didn't go back to look at it. But the video of he and Gianna courtside at a recent Lakers game. Mamba and his mini Mamba. And he was explaining some intricacy about the game to her. And this video got caught and got circulated. And the light in his eyes and the light on her face, it was something that they shared as father and daughter. And many of you have probably also seen the Jimmy Kimmel clip. Again, I don't know exactly when he was there, but it wasn't that long ago. And Jimmy asked him about his daughter, Gianna. And he told this story of how people come up to him all the time and say, when are you going to have a boy? Are you going to have a son? When are you going to have a son that can carry on your legacy? And it happened so often in front of Gianna that she would say, hey, no, I'm right here. I'm going to carry on the legacy. She inherited his mama mentality. She wore his number. I even saw a jersey. Now, I don't know if it was because it was the name of the team or because it was at his basketball academy, but she wore a jersey. There's pictures out there that said Mamba on it. And she was going to be in the WNBA. Kobe was sure of it, and that was her goal. 13 years old. And I can't even imagine what Vanessa and the other daughters are going through. I kept thinking about the 17-year-old. I have nieces about that age and how this shapes you for life. I mean, she's in her formative years and it shapes you for life. But then I kept thinking about the 3-year-old. What do you tell a 3-year-old? All that 3-year-old is going to know is that her sister's not around And how do you explain that? And will that three-year-old, whose name is Bianca, will she have any memories of her sister? These are the kind of things that are just so hard to wrestle with. And as it turns out, Gianna wasn't the only young woman who was on that helicopter. As if it couldn't have gotten any worse, right? And it's sad enough and tragic enough that this is how Kobe Bryant loses his life, but to have what appears to be three young teenagers on the helicopter is, it's just once again a reminder that you don't ever know. I could tell you all these things about how life is so short and life is so precious and appreciate it. But God, sometimes it just sucks. This sucks. We know Kobe is one of the greatest basketball players of all time, but his family know him as husband, daddy, and son. Think about his parents. So there's so much to think about, so much to process. And as I said when I started the show, there aren't really any words that can completely and fully describe the emotions and pay tribute, do this event justice, this tragedy justice. And yet there's so much to say. There's so many different ways to talk about it, to process it, to look at it. So many stories, so many images, so many pictures, so many moments. And it's not just that way for Kobe's family. It's that way for the other families who are forever impacted by what happened on Sunday. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. I appreciate that a lot of you are listening and sending your memories of Kobe. Also on our Facebook page. And we'll get back to your calls here in a sec. 855-212-4227.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Good game, tough loss, who cares? Most importantly, appreciate you all letting the locker room be tonight. Everybody's pretty emotional about the tragedy with Kobe, and all of us know what a great player he was, but he went beyond great playing. He was a competitor that goes unmatched, and it's what made him as a player so attractive, everybody, that focus, that competitiveness, that will to win. And even more importantly than that, we all feel a deep sense of loss for what he meant to all of us in so many ways, and so many millions of people loved him for so many different reasons.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
Greg Popovich may have been the one who suggested that the first basketball game of Sunday afternoon start with a pair of 24-second shot clock violations. I don't know if you saw it. It was in San Antonio, the Spurs and the Raptors, and both teams began the game with tears, but also by willfully taking the 24-second shot clock violations in honor of Kobe's number 24. And the videos I saw of the bench, Tim Duncan crying, Becky Hammon wiping away tears, up and down that bench, the coaching staff with Greg Popovich. This was in the moments right after the news was breaking. And I can't even imagine how any of those guys played basketball. I mean, I really couldn't concentrate on anything else on Sunday, and I didn't have a whole lot on my plate. So the NBA didn't end up changing the schedule or canceling games, and instead there were tributes for all the various teams and teams and matchups and arenas where they were played. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. I'm not sure if you saw this or heard this, but Tiger Woods started his final round at Torrey Pines about 15 minutes before the news broke, his caddy at some point during his final round knew about Kobe Bryant but didn't tell Tiger Woods. And so Tiger didn't find out till he was walking off of the final green, the 18th green at Torrey Pines. And within seconds, he was asked by a reporter on CBS to give his reaction to the loss of a man he called his friend.
The fire. He burned so competitively hot, and the desire to win. He brought it each and every night on both ends of the floor. I mean, not too many guys can say that throughout NBA history that he'd lock up on D. Obviously, he was dominant on the offensive side, but anytime he was in the game, he'd take on their best player and just shut him down for, you know, all 48 minutes. And that was one of the more impressive things, I think, throughout this entire career. And then, you know, when he ruptured his Achilles and went to the foul line and made his shots, I mean, that's tough.
Some of Tiger's memories about Kobe Bryant, the basketball player, and certainly that's a moment that many of us will remember, even if you only watch Kobe at the end of his career. He had torn his Achilles. He couldn't stand up straight, and he insisted on shooting free throws and then insisted on walking to the locker room by himself under his own power. That was his toughness, his tenacity, his pride, for sure. And that injury changed Kobe Bryant. That time when he was forced to watch the game, to me, that humanized him. It gave us a softer Kobe Bryant, which maybe he didn't want that word associated with him, but it was a good thing. It was a humbling experience to come in touch with his own basketball mortality. But he shared his pain, he shared his struggles, not just with us, but with others who were going through the same thing. And that was something we never saw from Kobe, a mentor, a guy who nurtured, who supported, who encouraged. Man, I admired that Kobe Bryant. And I'm glad we got to see that. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Van is listening in Minnesota. Welcome.
Hi, Amy. I'm not even going to ask you how you're feeling, because just like all around America and the whole world, we're trying to digest this jarring, heartbreaking situation. I'm 67 years old. When I heard the word, hey, I'm old, so when I heard that a sports icon died, I thought maybe it'd be, you know, somebody from my past, Hank Aaron, Willie Mays, Bill Russell. But when I heard Kobe, I just freaked out because, you know, I've gone through private grief with my family and public grief with everything, you know, the Kennedys, you know, the MLK, everybody. I submit to anybody listening out there, keep these families, you know, the Altobellis and the Bryants in your prayers, if that's how you go. But because they're in a terrible trauma right now. This is a really horrible thing to go through. I was a news reporter for a while, and I know what trauma means. So please, just try to reject hatred and go to some kind of life that's a little warmer than this.
I appreciate that, Van. Thanks for your phone call.
Thanks.
Let's talk to David, who's in Baltimore. Welcome to After Hours.
Hi, Amy. I just wanted to get in the Kobe conversation. I got a text this morning from my friend saying that Kobe passed. My first reaction was, that's not funny. What are you talking about? LeBron just passed the scoring title yesterday, and then he says, I'm not joking, and I'm still in shock. And the thing about Kobe is he was the only athlete that I ever took a trip. I took a trip to Boston, 2015 December, to see Kobe's last game at Boston Garden, because he announced his retirement a few months after he started playing. So I live in Baltimore, so I was going to go see him in D.C. with the Wizards. Didn't know he was retiring. I missed the game. I take a Greyhound bus for $130 down to Boston, six-hour bus trip. I'm sitting a couple rows behind Vanessa and his daughter Gianna, and the other two daughters were there. And I could just remember Kobe hitting a game-winning shot during that game. And he started off slow that game, but I think he finished with 13 or 15 points. And I can remember him embracing his daughters and his wife after the game and seeing how much those kids meant to him and how much, you know, that Kobe meant to them and how it was like an inspiration while he was playing to be playing for them, not just for himself. And that was my best Kobe memory. That was the only time I've ever been to Boston Garden. But I just think, like, we forget that, like we lose a legend like Kobe Bryant, and we forget that we lose people every single day, but they're just as vulnerable as everybody else to this happening. Basically, an act of God is what happened. You know, there's nobody to blame here. It's just an act of God, and we can't explain why it happened, but we forget that it could happen to anybody, not just, you know, every single day somebody gets in an accident and passes away. But when it happens to a legend like Kobe, we're in just such a state of shock right now.
Well, I think it's because it impacts so many people, and that's not to lessen any death. I mean, yes, we all go through tragedies. I mean, I remember when I was in high school, one of my classmates died. I lost my first grandparent when I was 16. You know, we all go through those types of things, whether it be cancer, whether it be accidents, whether it be old age, whatever it is. You know, not that long ago, a really good friend of mine died in a motorcycle accident. So yes, we all go through that. It's different, not more important, but different when it's an icon because it affects so many millions of people all at the same time. So yeah, no one's saying that Kobe's life is any more important than anyone else's. And I'm trying to pass along the names of the other victims in the crash when I can. David, thank you for your phone call from Baltimore. But the difference is that when it's someone who is recognized by name and by face worldwide, you know, there's so many people who are impacted by the news and by the loss, and they feel it the same as we are. David says on our Facebook page, being 43 years old and born and raised in South Central LA, I'm a huge Laker fan, grew up watching Showtime, and Magic is my favorite player ever, winning 5 rings. Never thought I'd see another Laker win 5 titles. Then there was Kobe Bean Bryant. Damn, what a player. Just watching his commitment and dedication to the game and the Lakers organization is my memory. And he won 5 rings. Tony says, the reason why I started watching the game of basketball and the reason why I started to play. He came to go to war with whoever was on the other team. No one has played the game like Kobe. Best memories were him matching up against great players like LeBron and D. Wade, and of course, battling the Celtics for those finals. Michael Jordan had a statement that he released in which he talked about how he had no words and was really struggling to process, but that he felt like Kobe was a little brother to him. And Kobe kind of spanned a couple of different generations. To play 20 years in one uniform, to win the 5 rings, 2 of them coming later in his career, and to have the 81-point game, which, by the way, was 14 years ago this week, then to finish his career with a 60-point performance. There are so many moments that we can all remember that we watched, and yet, big picture, the impact goes far beyond basketball. And so there's people who maybe don't follow basketball on a regular basis. You don't have to be a fan of basketball to recognize the impact of Kobe Bryant. Steve says on Facebook, I read an opinion tonight that this was possibly the biggest celebrity death since Princess Diana. And I can't really argue with that. The only other thing in my career that I can compare this to, and I've talked about a lot of athletes dying, some of them in accidents, some of them suddenly. We even had the Angels pitcher who passed away this season suddenly. But in terms of impact, I was on the air the night that Whitney Houston died. And to me, that's really the only comparable experience that I have in terms of talking about a celebrity whose influence and whose impact transcended his or her business, and who were recognizable by name and by face. Our Facebook page is After Hours with Amy Lawrence. You can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio, another Kobe fan. I seen Kobe live one time versus the Wizards. It was like seeing Picasso paint, and you knew you were seeing something special that was going to change the sport forever. That it did. Our phone number is 855-212-4CBS. It's After Hours on CBS Sports Radio.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You guys will always be in my heart, and I sincerely, sincerely appreciate it. No words can describe how I feel about you guys, and thank you from the bottom of my heart. I love you guys, and I love you guys, and my family, to my family, my wife Vanessa, our daughters Natalia and Gianna, you know, thank you guys for all your sacrifice. You know, for all the hours I spent in the gym working and training, and Vanessa, you holding down the family the way that you have, I can't, there's no way that I could thank you enough for that. So, yeah, from the bottom of my heart, thank you. And what can I say? Mamba out.
This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
I thought about that Kobe Bryant moment so many times on Sunday. In fact, I almost tweeted Mamba out, but I was worried that it would come across insensitive. You know how often on electronic media, something that you mean to be taken one way gets taken in another. And so I didn't, but I kept thinking about his Mamba out phrase and his kiss goodbye after his final game in which he scored 60 points and the fans adored him. That was it. He was in his element, and he had this perfect exit, short of being in the playoffs and walking off with another ring. It couldn't have gone any better. And we all watched. We were mesmerized. And Lakers fans, they lay special claim to Kobe Bryant. But you ask a basketball fan, really of any age, who had a chance to watch him play, it's a little bit like watching Michael Jordan play or watching LeBron. We all have stories. We're all impacted. And now there's a new generation of NBA players who feel the same way, who idolized him, and in many cases, who played because of Kobe Bryant. I mean, here's Zion Williamson, who's just starting his NBA career, and he was impacted on Sunday as well.
Kobe meant a lot to me growing up. I had both jerseys, 8 and 24, growing up. You know, I feel like I studied his footwork game because I respected his. I think he's top two of all time. But, I mean, that's tough, man. You know, I was on the way to the arena when I got the news.
Yeah, the reaction, just the ripple effect across the sports world. You could see it. You could see it at the Pro Bowl, even as ABC was covering it. You could see it on NBA TV where Brian Shaw, one of Kobe's former teammates, was reacting in the moment. And then guys like Doc Rivers, unable to stop the tears. Guys like DeMar DeRozan, an LA native, who had to somehow step on the court and play. Guys like Trae Young, who in Atlanta was overcome by emotion. Guys like LeBron James, who found out when he was in an airplane flying cross country back to Los Angeles, and somehow there was a camera where their private plane landed and captured him hugging, I don't know who it was, hugging a woman, maybe his wife, and sobbing. Regardless of how old you were, regardless of your experience with basketball, Kobe Bryant is a part of that experience. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. We're inside the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Don't miss out on your chance to enter the Rocket Mortgage Super Bowl sweepstakes. Over $1 million in prize money will be given out during Super Bowl 54. Enter for free by January 30th at rocketmortgagesquares.com. I won't be here on Monday night into Tuesday morning. I have to catch a flight to Miami. Also seems just strangely surreal that it is Super Bowl week, and within hours I have to shift my brain and my brain power to talking about what is supposed to be the number one sports story in the world right now. 855-212-4227. We'll get right back to your calls, but I wanted to allow Chris and Dave the opportunity to share their thoughts about Kobe Bryant. And so you may not know, but so you understand, the three of us are all different ages. So we all have a different experience about Kobe, and we kind of come from three separate decades. And so I wanted to Chris and Dave to be able to share if they wanted to.
Yeah, definitely. I appreciate the couple moments here to share. Kobe is, for me, I'm 28 years old. So for me, Kobe is my Michael Jordan. I was 5 years old when the Bulls dynasty came to an end, so I didn't watch it growing up. Obviously, I've gone back and seen all the highlights and how great that was. But Kobe was the first NBA superstar I ever watched, and then I watched him pass the baton off to LeBron. So when I think of my formative years as a basketball fan, it's going to be Kobe and it's going to be LeBron. So to lose him today was surreal. Dave and I were talking about it here during one of the commercial breaks. This is the first athlete or celebrity death that really shook me a lot. It made me look my own mortality in the face, like, wow, this is somebody I grew up watching. I just watched the game on Saturday with LeBron passing him on the all-time scoring list, and it's been a whirlwind of a day, and you know, it's obviously a tragedy. But for me, Kobe Bryant, LeBron James, that's basketball to me.
Thank you, Chris. Dave?
Yeah, first of all, I want to say thank you. I appreciate you giving us the opportunity to say something. I'm 33 years old, so a little bit of a different time frame, you know, in watching him play. I saw most of Michael Jordan's career, all of, you know, Kobe's career, and got to appreciate the entire thing and appreciated the way he played. My personal Kobe memory was, I was actually at the 61-point game at the Garden, which, as a lifelong Knicks fan, I was actually rooting for him. It was a close game, and even though he scored 61, it was a close game, and I was, the entire arena, the Garden, was rooting for him, and that was a really cool moment. The other side of this for me, though, as you know, the listeners know, I have children. I have four kids myself. My youngest is about the same age as his youngest, and that's really where it hit home for me. Just took a moment today and just, you know, just looked at my wife, looked at my kids, and just gave everybody a hug, you know. And it's for someone that I've never personally met, I don't know, but it's still affected in such a great way. It's just hard to put into words. And, you know, yeah, to talk about a celebrity and an athlete that's really affected you that much. I mean, he's bigger than the game of basketball. And I think that the game of basketball can't be written, the history of basketball can't be written without his name in it.
What did you tell your kids? Did you talk about this with your kids, the older ones?
Yeah, I mean, I broke the news to them. You know, they're not as big of sports fans, you know, obviously, as I am, but they all, even the ones that are not sports fans at all, they know his name, mm-hmm. and they know who he is, and they were affected by it as well. And it gives you an opportunity to say, be grateful, and all these things. They might be cliche, but they're true, you know. And it's just an opportunity to say, you never know what day could be your last, and to appreciate and make the most of it, and spend it with people that you do love and that you appreciate. And you know, to see the way he was teaching his daughter the game that she loved and he loved, it's just something I want to instill in my kids, to do something that you love.
Yeah, if you haven't seen the videos of Kobe with his daughter, Gianna, there was one that was captured not that long ago on courtside of a Lakers game, and he was clearly explaining nuances to basketball and the look on her face, and she kind of finished his sentence. And I actually went back and looked at a bunch of family photos. There's one of the five of them. The six of them. It was right after the baby was born, and they're all dressed up in Wizard of Oz costumes for Halloween, so it wasn't that long ago. Beautiful family, but even more so, the fact that he had dedicated so much of his life to being one of the best basketball players on the planet obviously took him away from his wife and his children. That's just the reality of it all. But since he had retired, this was his focus, to be a doting husband to his wife, Vanessa, who he's known since high school, and to take care of his kids and to be part of all their activities. Natalia, 17, Bianca, 3, Capri, who's 7 months. And if I'm not mistaken, she shares his name. So I think her name is Capri Kobe. They all have these pretty cool names, first and middle names. And then Gianna, who was known as Gigi, she was on that chopper with him. Thank you guys for sharing. I really appreciate it. I know it's hard. And no matter how long you work in this business, there is no right way or easy way to use words to talk about something like this. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Let's talk to Tony, who's in Portland. Tony, welcome to After Hours.
How are you doing, Amy?
Good. I just got about 90 seconds, so I'm going to ask you to just go ahead.
Okay, I'm going to keep it real quick. I talked to you like 2 years ago about Peyton Pritchard and the Oregon team that went to the Final Four, and we talked for a bit. Anyway, about Kobe, you know, you already mentioned it, that LeBron James broke his all-time scoring record. And I was listening to the game, and it's just surreal. And then the next day, I wake up and hear the stories. We're all crying today. The whole country is.
I would agree with that. It's definitely something that, even as we've talked about, whether you're a basketball fan or not, you knew Kobe by name, you knew him by face, and to see the photos with his daughter. And she was the one that was the mini mama that shared his love for basketball and wanted to be in the WNBA. I mean, whether or not you knew anything about him, to see him as a dad is the part that hammers at home. I can only imagine what this is like for his wife now. I mean, you just lost the partner that you've had for your entire life, but you also lost one of your cherished daughters. And I don't even know how you go on after something like that, Tony.
You know, you have to. I mean, I have so many losses in my life. But, Amy, really, truly nice talking to you. And like I said, I talked to you a couple years ago. And I just wish you the best. I can hear the emotion in your voice. But we're all going through it. I'm a Blazer fan, so we're always kind of hating on Kobe as a basketball player. But what a man. What a man he became. And you know what he was doing today, this morning, taking his daughter down to play basketball and mm-hmm. being the coach. You know, not a lot of men do that. He was a wonderful person, and I've taken up enough of your time, but I just want to say hi again, Amy. I don't know if you remember me, but we definitely talked for a bit a couple years ago.
All right, Tony. Thank you so much. I appreciate your phone call. I'm sorry I have to let you go because we are up against the top of the hour here. I have talked about this a couple of different times. All of the names have now been released, the names of the victims. There were 9 people who were on that helicopter. It appears as though there was another mother and daughter who were only recently identified. And judging by her photo, the daughter may have been a teammate of Gianna's and Alyssa's.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.